Welcome to the Mondo Show. You're not going to want to miss today's program. I have a very special guest that has brought a different perspective of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Did you know that the four horsemen of the apocalypse is found in Zechariah? This is a different method to understand the book of Revelation, chapter 6. His book is titled The Four Horsemen, The Winds of Theopolitical Change. I don't want you to miss today's program because we discover a new perspective on why the four horsemen of the apocalypse should not be feared. Do you believe that God is in control? Well, you're going to discover that in today's episode. Check this interview out with my special guest, pastor, author, Curtis Liebel. Watch this.
Well, I've learned when we're young, we like to use God for our ministry.
Ooh.
And then when we get wise, we let God use us for his ministry. You see, and there's a big gap between the two.
Wow.
And he says, when are you going to die to yourself?
Yeah.
Like Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me.
Christ that lives.
You know.
I can talk to you just on that statement. Yeah. We can unpack what I feel is what's happening right now with young ministers.
Sure.
You have ministered for over 40 years.
Mm.
You've seen the belly of the beast, someone said.
Oh, I've wrestled with the beast.
You wrestled with the beast. And here we are, 2025, and I think about all the young preachers that have come along that have fallen, those that are succeeding right now. As a pastor, former pastor, do you ever stop pastoring?
Everywhere I go. You know, the father's saying, okay, here's somebody hurting. Here's somebody who needs some guidance, some direction. You know, help them find the green pasture. Help them come back from wherever they're wandering, right? So, yeah, that never stops.
Never stops. What do you feel is the state of pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets right now?
You know, I think we're living in an iconic Christianity age, where a lot of young preachers, a lot of young ministers latch on to this idea that they're now going to go out and build their little corner of the kingdom. And so we become kingdom builders, and what happens is the line gets blurry as to whose kingdom we're building.
Hmm.
Are we building our own kingdom? Using God? Using the truth? You know, some are given gifts, for example. Any of us that are in ministry are here because God has gifted us through the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes back to the same question. Are we using these gifts to build his kingdom, or are we building our little kingdom over here and we put his name above it? You know, and so what does it take? You know, what does it take to move from that? I'm not even going to suggest that we're not all tempted to do that, because we really don't understand how the enemy wants to redirect us or distract us from the real mission. But when we grow and become mature and we realize, you know what, I built a kingdom and now I become this personality, right? I'm a ministry personality. I'm iconic. And we live in a world where, you know, we have Hollywood stars and we have sports icons and everything is iconic world. People are going to gravitate to a personality. Okay, so that's human nature, right? And people like to, you know, listen to certain people. They gravitate toward them. And that's natural. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say that that's not going to happen. But what that person does with that situation determines the outcome of the ministry. You're going to either take it and in a sense, become prideful and feel like you're building something. You are the linchpin to this whole ministry. Or you're going to say, you know what, as much as I'm tempted to do that and I could, I need to learn how to put people's hands into the hands of Jesus and just be that connecting point. And I want them to see Jesus in me. I want them to see Jesus through what I do and then go back and give all the glory to him.
Mm.
And if we can keep doing that, And we can, like what John says in Scripture, John the Baptist, he says, I must decrease and he must increase.
Oh, wow.
Well, how do we do that, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard to decrease when you have a lot of people saying, tell me more, Pastor, mm-hmm. show me this or build this. It's very hard. But I think, you know, this is one of the things that a minister has to overcome, because it says that he that overcomes mm-hmm. shall inherit all things.
You've written a powerful book, The Four Horsemen.
Theo is a really important part, because if you look at geopolitical changes,
yeah.
the factors that are in the world that can cause the rise and fall of nations. But when you add God to the equation, that's the Theo part.
Wow.
God's the one that's involved in these geopolitics.
Okay, that brings me to this position. I don't want to waste any more time.
Okay.
Revelation chapter 6 has been quoted. People have written books. People have built ministries upon that. But by no circumstance I have ever heard Zechariah chapter 6 be mentioned in the equation, because as I was talking to my son yesterday, I told him, son, I learned something new. And I said, I never thought in a million years that I would learn something different out of the four horsemen.
Yeah.
Because the way it was taught that this were scary people, that the devil, Lucifer, or it came out of the abyss.
Right. Right. This adversarial force that's dark, it's against the plans of God, Yahweh God. And that was kind of a lot of the thrust that we would hear from those that were seeing things at the time.
Yeah.
You know, but when God brings revelation, he brings clarity. And this is what we pray for. It's what we all need. We need that clarity. I need that clarity. I don't have that in my own mind.
How did you come to this revelation, Pastor? How did you understand Zechariah is a game changer?
You know, I stumbled upon it because, and I say stumbled, it was God directing me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says that the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit, guides us, right? So at the end of the day, it's really being guided to something. But when I was reading through, I was trying to find information about the four horsemen. Is there any place in Scripture beside Revelation 6 that actually talks about the four horsemen? So that directed me to Zechariah, the chapters 1-6. But then I began to read it, and there's a definite statement in Zechariah 6:5 mm-hmm. that unlocks the entire mystery. And when I began to allow my eyes to go across that, it was like the Spirit highlighted this. You know, if you've ever had a moment mm-hmm. where you're reading the same passage that you've read, you know, 20 times, and all of a sudden the Spirit just causes the words to expand and, mm-hmm. and come off the page and says, look at this. And that would have been that verse. And that verse, it says... So in verse 2 of chapter 6, it talks about the first chariot, the white horses, the red horse, different color horses. So we know we're talking about the four horsemen. The angel was speaking to Zechariah, and Zechariah asked the angel, what are these? Isn't that our question? What are mm-hmm. these? You know, mm-hmm. we want to know mm-hmm. what the four horsemen
yeah.
are. And the angel replies with an answer. And so when the answer comes from heaven, that should get our attention. Right?
Yes.
Because it wasn't a man saying this. It was an angel delivering a truth from heaven. And he says, these are the four spirits of heaven going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth.
Mm.
So that phrase, these are the four spirits of heaven. Not a spirit of heaven, but the. Now, that means that they have this identifier. And it's perhaps something we can find elsewhere in Scripture. That's what captured my attention. And so I did one more check, and I went beyond the English, and I looked at the Hebrew. And the word for Hebrew, for the word spirit in English, is ruach. Now, I knew that, but then I began to think of the iterations. So not only does ruach mean spirit, but it means wind. So now, if we look for those two identifiers in Scripture, the four spirits and the four winds, we're going to realize these are talking about the four horsemen. Now, that unlocks a lot more scripture for the four horsemen, because scripture is kind of light on the four horsemen, right?
Yes.
There isn't a lot of information given. But now we've unlocked a couple of key things. A key passage that I would add then is Daniel chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. And it simply says this, Mondo. It says, Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven, remember, wind, spirit, four horsemen, were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. So let's unpack that for a minute. We have the four horsemen stirring the sea. Now, I believe the sea is the nations, just like the sea has its ebb and tide and its currents. Humanity has that. You know, if you look at the world, they move from one place to another. They grow, they shrink. You know, so this is sea is a picture of the nations, humanity. And the four horsemen are stirring that. And up from the people rises four great beasts. Well, we know that because Daniel's referring to this, he's also referring to the four metal empires that were in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So let's connect that. The four horsemen are responsible for the rise and the fall of the kingdoms, the metal kingdoms, and I believe any kingdom that God wants to have function or not function on the earth.
I want to take a step back.
Okay.
Because what rocked me about that passage was to understand that these four horsemen were actually, can I say this, friends? Or how would I put this? They had a great relationship with God.
Yeah. They had a positive relationship, and they were under his command.
Okay, that's okay. It. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
They were, this four horsemen are not from an evil empire called hell or the abyss or Lucifer or Satan. They are given authority by God himself to patrol the earth.
That's exactly what it says, Mondo. They patrolled the earth and they reported back.
But that changes everything, Pastor.
Yeah.
That changes revelation. That changes the way we have to see the unfolding of the black horse, the white horse, the red horse, the pale horse.
Exactly. They're actually sent because one of those functions or all four of those functions are going to be necessary for the rise and fall of kingdoms. And I go into the book and I break down those functions and show that every major shift in kingdoms has these four elements to it. And once you can find the function, then you can find the horseman.
All right, do one function.
Okay.
You can't talk about it, and you got my mind itching. I'm going to go back and study. Listen, by the way, I want you to go to Amazon.com and get this book today. Get several copies. This is something that is going to change your theology. It's going to change. It's going to challenge. Let's say that it's going to challenge to change your theology on how you have been writing, seeing, hearing about Revelation chapter 6. This book right here has got a lot of scripture. It's got very little of your opinion, sir. It's got a lot of scripture. Get ready to mark your Bible. Get ready to dive in and go from Old Testament to New Testament and understand, at least I understood this as I started reading it and studying it, that these four spirits have been all throughout the book. Not this book. I'm talking about
the Bible.
The Bible.
Right.
And you helped me discover things that I couldn't understand. Now it makes sense. This is the book you want to have. Amazon.com, get several copies. We're going to dive in right now on one of them at least. We can't give you all of them because then you're not going to want to buy the book. No. So let's start with one. What's the one part that you want to be able to really unpack for us right now?
So, Mondo, let me start with giving you a construct, okay? And this is actually found in the first six chapters of Zechariah. You have for example, the Lord being referred to as Yahweh Sabaoth, which means the Lord of the armies. He's the Lord of hosts. That makes him commander in chief. Mm. So this is a military setup. We have Yahweh God as the commander in chief. I would add to that the divine council, as we've learned about over the last several years, making decisions. And then the next character you see in this, standing with the four horsemen, is the angel of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe the angel of the Lord is referring to Yeshua, or Jesus, pre-incarnate. And so he's there. We refer to him as the arm, the right arm, right? He is Yahweh's right arm. But then you have an extension of the arm. You have the hand, okay? And the hand is where I see the four horsemen. Now, let me add to that analogy. We've got this, the world is like this huge chessboard. And the kingdoms are like the kings and the queens and the pieces on the board, right? And we often try to identify the four horsemen as one of those pieces. Is it the Antichrist? Is the white horse the Antichrist? What is the red horse? And we're trying to look at all these pieces, whether it's the castle or the rook or the bishop, and we think we've landed on something. But what I believe the reality is that the four horsemen are like the hand that moves the piece. So instead of trying to look at the pieces, look at the force behind the piece. And this is where we see the four horsemen. When we have this idea now of the horsemen, you asked about one specific function, and that's where I would come to. Let's take the red horse, for example. A couple of things that Revelation tells us about the red horse and the horsemen is that he has a great sword, and it's given to him to take peace from the earth. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, Mondo. What's more powerful, the steel sword or the pen?
Wow. We'll be right back with more with my special guest, Pastor Curtis. I hope you're enjoying this conversation today. I know my mind is blown. My heart is open to learning more about Revelation 6 and the four horsemen of the apocalypse found in Zechariah. I hope you're enjoying today's program. But first, I just want to say thank you for praying for me, for standing with me. And I hope that you have prayed about standing with me, because financially, I'm going to need your support. This program has an opportunity to expand right now. I need your help. Would you consider praying and standing with me for this miracle? Listen, when you go to the Mondo Show and sign up to be a partner every single month, you're going to help me expand this program and really bring the gospel around the world in a different way that Christian television hasn't seen before. But when you do that, I want to send you a free gift of my book. This is my testimony. This is my journey, my crazy life, and the moments that brought a gangster to grace. Will you go to my website right now, themondoshow.com, and become a monthly supporter? Or if you just want to do a one-time gift, you're able to do that as well. Listen, I have set up a special program called The Mondo Insider, where I get to spend more time with my special guests, where you get to hear from them directly and listen to their heart. I hope you join today and consider standing with me as God is opening up doors for this ministry, for this program to go nationwide on other platforms. Listen, I don't want to talk more. Visit my website, become a partner today. But let's get back to learning more with Pastor Curtis. I'll see you in a little bit.
Everyone logically would think that the sword, like a literal sword, is going to be the most destructive. But really, what's behind the battle or a fight or a duel or whatever you use a sword for is the words that are represented by the pen, right? So the pen is more powerful. And the pen represents words, ideas, thoughts, convictions. I'm not going to go fight somebody or go to battle with an army unless I have a deep conflict with them. And so what has to happen before the actual white war horse comes is you have to create ideological conflict. So if I want to separate peoples, or I want to separate nations, go back to the hand wanting to move the chess piece, right? I have to create a conflict between those two groups. Mm-hmm. And if I can create the conflict, it's going to naturally create a power struggle. And that power struggle is going to lead to one nation rising, one nation falling. And so the Red Horseman, he doesn't wield a steel sword. He wields the sword of isms. Mm. Now, this is where we start to talk about different ideological ideas or religious ideas. And let me give you an example. In ancient Mesopotamia, we had polytheism, right? And that is, the pantheon of gods and deities, and different civilizations named them differently. And they would fight over whose were more powerful. You know, for example, if one leader, whether you take Hammurabi as the Babylonian leader, and he believed he was representing Marduk, and that was the deity that empowered him, and he's in control. Well, some other guy comes from another civilization, said, I don't believe your god's more powerful than my god, and I represent him, so we're going to fight. Right? And so we can see how polytheism operated in and of itself. But now add to it monotheism. Now, this is a big struggle because the polytheists didn't appreciate the fact that it all boiled down to one God, monotheism. Yet, that is the truth of the Bible. Mm. Okay, so now we got an ideological conflict, and that shows up in different places. We go to modern day, and I'm giving you just a few examples. There are many. What modern day, we had this growth of capitalism and free market thinking, right? To build a world better by allowing commerce to flow freely and people to naturally rise with wealth. There was an adversarial force introduced to that, started back in the middle 1800s through Karl Marx. And as you know, we're talking about communist socialism. Yeah. And so we have this now, this culmination in World War I of the Bolshevik Revolution. You know, Vladimir Lenin, Karl Marx, they create their institute in Russia. They topple the czars and say, no, we're going to do a completely different ideology for our country. Now, if that ideology stayed in Russia, the world would be at peace, right, Mondo?
Yeah.
But it didn't stay in Russia. All of a sudden, there other nations are being affected by this ideology, and of course America was affected. Back in the 1920s, it was called the Red Scare. Mm. Now, I'm sure red is just a coincidence to the red horse. I don't know. Obviously had to do with the red Russian flag. Then again, why the color? You know, why is red, you know, used in this ideological conflict? But yet it was this conflict, and it still is today, Mondo. We're struggling with capitalism, free market capitalism, which gives people more liberty. Yeah. And we're struggling now with socialism and this tyrannical communism that wants to oppress the people. So those are factors that can be introduced through a horse. Wow. And I believe they're introduced throughout many different points in history, different ones.
This is powerful. This is a revelation that is changing my life right now. I love it because I love being challenged and I love learning new things. I hope that when you get this book, you get the same feeling I got. I rediscover something new that, listen, is giving me the hunger to go back to the Word. Not that I wasn't in the Word, but I want to study more. I want to understand more as we see nations rising against nations like we've never seen in our lifetime. It's insane that in the 21st century, we are almost close to World War III.
Yeah.
Are we going to see it? I don't know. Sure, it feels like it. It feels like China is going to invade Taiwan at any moment. It feels like Israel is going to go to war with Iran at any moment. It feels like Turkey is going to come out of nowhere. We've seen the debacle of Syria and the things that they're doing to our Christian brothers and sisters. We've seen the tariff wars with America and Canada and Mexico. And I mean, we're seeing the most unprecedented times in the 21st century, and we're still dealing with economic problems like never before.
Right.
Would you pray for us? Amen. I hate that our time is gone for today. I want to thank my special guest. He's an unbelievable man, an author, a pastor. I mean, you are a man after God's heart. I want to tell you that because you're bringing truths that most people are not talking about today. I think it's because you don't have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I think you understood your assignment, and we want to hear more from you. Would you come back and let's talk some more? And we want to discuss more about the book. But I think life lessons are amazing. I think there's some scriptures on the Bible I'd love to unpack with you, because today's generation is going to TikTok, it's going to YouTube to try to find the answers. And people are getting confused.
Yeah.
They're getting deceived, and we don't have time to waste. The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. I'm all about soul winning. We got to win one more for the kingdom. We got to remember that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to forgive you of your sins. Would you pray for us?
Absolutely, Mondo. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the things that you are. You are everything that we need. You are the I am. You are the source of all of our strength, the source of all of our resources. Father, help us to remember that in every crisis, in every moment, in every time we're feeling like we are being crushed or we are being broken, that we are still in your hands, that we are being shaped and molded and not destroyed. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience. I pray that every believer out there in the sound of our voices begins to turn their hearts and receive the blessing that Jesus came to give. And we thank you for all things in his mighty name, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please come back. Oh, here I am interrupting you again, but this time I really have to go. If you want to listen and watch more of my interview with Pastor Curtis, you're going to have to go to themondoshow.com and join the Mondo Insider today. Why? That's where I'm spending a lot of my time with my special guests. But listen, before I go, I want you to pray about standing with me and becoming a partner of the Mondo Show today, because you're helping me expand this program in ways that only God is able to do. Do you know that this is the only program hosted by an ex-gang member that is being syndicated around the world? And that's a miracle. When you join the partnership with me, I want to send you a free gift of my story, my testimony of my crazy life and the moments that brought a gangster to grace. With your gift, you're helping me expand. But more than that, you're helping me preach the gospel around the world. Will you join me today in this journey? Let's win some souls and be wise. That's a Bible scripture, by the way. He that winneth souls is wise. Let's win some souls. Let's win one more for the kingdom of heaven. I need your help today. Go to my website today. Support me. Do a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter of this program. Will you pray about that? I know you will. Listen, I really got to go this time. But remember this, God is on your side. Keep the faith. It's going to be all right. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.